Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is a treat. He is the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, Pastor Ken Keltner. Pastor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Good to be with you.
It's good to see you today.
Yeah, good to see you. And
yeah, everything's going well for you?
Everything's going well, yeah. I'm looking forward to the broadcast today. It's going to be great.
You know, before we introduce our guest, I got to tell you, on the high school football coaches show that I do every week during the high school football season, and then every other week during the summer, we do the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I have college coaches on every week, and we do what's called a Coach's Corner, and what I ask for that show is that a majority, at least half of their roster, are Wisconsin kids. Because I want our kids at this, the state of Wisconsin to play at the next level. So getting ready for today's show, our special guest is the head football coach at Eastern Michigan University. I looked at the roster. They have one Wisconsin kid. Guess what position he plays? He's from Menominee Falls, by the way, in your neck of the woods.
Kicker.
No, try again. Even more obscure. He's a long snapper. I laughed. I said, okay, we got a tie-in, man. We got the long snapper from the Indians from Menominee Falls. And we could talk to our special guest, Coach Chris Creighton, about how the long snapping is going for Eastern Michigan. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, you can't forget Rob Pavletic is an offensive line for us too, as well, from Nina. So we got two.
I missed him. But I did. Hey, I got the Menominee Falls boy. It is a past you live in the Falls, don't you?
Yeah, and you know what? That's a critical position. I mean, if you have a long snapper that snaps it over the punter's head, you're in trouble.
Thank goodness they got a Wisconsin boy to snap it. That's right. Why they haven't had any snaps over the head. Hey, Coach, we really appreciate a couple minutes of your time today and all the research I was doing on you. This is going to be a great show. I know that that Tom Allen, the head football coach at Indiana, had highly recommended us to get a hold of you, said you guys are really good friends and thought that you'd be a great guest on this show. And we had Tom on. He went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College here in Wisconsin. And both of my kids went to school there, so we had that Wisconsin tie-in with him, and he was a great guest. He's going to do good work at Indiana.
No question. I couldn't agree with you more. The way he got there and then the way that it came about for him to be head coach, I mean, the situation for others involved. I mean, you never want to celebrate that. But just thinking about, Tom being the head coach at Indiana puts a smile on my face for sure. And he's going to do, he always has. He's very faithful, lives by conviction, and is unashamed and is an awesome football coach.
Yeah, and he has a big task. We were talking about it. He starts off with Ohio State. I think that's opening. That's the first game for the
FBS. I said, who set that schedule? He said that happened before I got here. Man, I'm not sure I would start with Ohio State, but you know what? We're going to have to play him, so bring him on.
He did.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I bet you privately he wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
So he'll have them ready.
Well, we'll be watching that one. We'll be rooting for Tom on that.
No doubt. Hey, Coach, let's go through your background if we can. Again, our special guest for today's show is the head coach at Eastern Michigan University. It's Chris Creighton. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about your background and where you grew up and where you went to college, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. No, I was actually born, and my first 12 years were in California. I was born in San Francisco, and then from 4 to 12, my folks lived and had us in San Jose. My father was an Episcopal priest during that time, and then moved us up to Seattle when I was 12, and that's where, you know, I spent my junior high and high school years. And I've been in the Midwest my entire adult life. But, you know, if I had to call somewhere other than Eastern Michigan home, it would probably be Seattle. And then moved when I graduated from Roosevelt High School in Seattle, went to Kenyon College, which is a small private liberal arts school in central Ohio. And so, again, I've been in the Midwest ever since.
Did they have a football program there?
Kenyon is not near Uganda. I bought the T-shirt.
I was going to say.
Visit there. And, yeah, we do have a football program.
Good, yeah.
You know, got to play and get my education there. It was awesome.
What position did you play, Chris?
I played quarterback, and I punted.
There you go. That's a good combination because you can fake that punt with a good quarterback, can't you?
That's right. With a good quarterback, not with a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, and you need a good long snapper, too, if you're punting.
That's right.
Man, I knew that was going to come back.
I mean, I want to hammer that. I mean, I'm proud of that boy. I'm glad he's doing. And what year is this young man at your school right now?
He's just finishing up his second year, and so he'll be in his third year this next year.
Okay.
Well, where he comes from, just so you know, Chris, is about 10 minutes from the church that that I go to, that Pastor Ken Keltner is the head pastor at. And Menominee Falls, my son went to high school at a small Baptist school in Menominee Falls. And he, I would assume that that's a hardworking kid that comes from a great family.
Yes and yes. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Let's Chris, let's talk a little bit about your coaching history. Did you know when you were playing football in high school, college, that coaching was something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, I did not. A really good question. You can shut me off at any point. But my spring of my senior year at Kenyon, I was headed to Teach for America. It was the second year of the program, so I was going to graduate and then go to USC, is where they did it. Were about for 2 months, where, you know, non-education majors who wanted to teach in the really the worst school districts in the country, whether rural or urban, would go for, you know, a 2 month, you know, here you go lesson, and then I was scheduled to teach first grade Spanish in Compton, LA. And was fired up about it. That was the plan until spring break. And spring break, my senior year, I was with one of my great friends in Cleveland, Ohio. It's where he was from. And we were stayed up one night, probably from midnight till 3 a.m. And during that time, it was just kind of breaking down my strengths and weaknesses and passions and whatnot. And I kid you not, had no intention of coaching, but at 3 a.m. I said, I'm going to be a college football coach. And when break was over, I went back to my college coach and said, what do I do? I want to be a college coach, and kind of went from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always really envy and have a lot of respect for guys that follow their dream and say, look, this is where my strengths are. And I think that this is the area that I need to pursue. Were there doors opened for you to be able to coach relatively quickly?
Well, that's another good question. So I still call it the wall of rejection. The first thing I did was I wrote 72 Division I programs about being a graduate assistant. And I ended up taping you know, all of the responses. I mean, I had some of the coolest letterhead of all time, you know, and I'm hearing back from these programs basically saying, don't ever write us again. We want nothing to do with you. And I take them up on this wall. And I mean, everybody would come by to see it, you know, because I'm, you know, some pretty neat programs. But then Concordia University in River Forest outside of Chicago,
you bet,
said yes. And really right after Jim Tressel at Youngstown, you know, ended up saying, hey, it's not going to happen at this point, but he was very helpful in the process. And we began a relationship because of that, has helped me to this day. But yeah, so I started coaching at a Division III school, Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois.
You know, that they're in the conference that that Tom Allen actually played in, at least when my son went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Concordia of Illinois was in that conference. And that's awesome. Coach, when once you started there, the progression then for you after being a grad assistant, is that when some doors opened up?
Well, I mean, shoot, it's a door just to get my foot in the door. And I will tell you that I think that it was either my first or second year coaching. We played Maranatha Baptist, and I believe Tom Allen was a senior inside linebacker. We've never like officially confirmed that, but we both think that that's the case, which is just so crazy.
You know, I think on that show last week, he said he hit you into the following week. I think he said he blitzed once, he hit you, they took you out of the game, you said you don't want to play football anymore. I think that's what Coach Allen said.
Anybody who he hit, he'd hit hard, I promise you that. So he's in great shape to this day. But yeah, so I got my master's there in those two seasons, and then you know, kind of picked things back up with Coach Tressel. You know, had again a situation where potentially it could be hooking on with him. I wanted to be a college coach. I'd done it for 2 years and knew it was what I was, you know, made to do. And I got contacted by a Swedish football team and about coming over and being their head coach and playing quarterback. And at first I wasn't interested. I was, you know, pursuing something in the States. And, you know, after a month or so, when, you know, just things were definitely far from a guarantee about getting a job, long story short, I said yes. And so after I got my master's, I went out and coached and played in Sweden for a season and then about, you know, 4 months. And while I was over there, I got my first, you know, full-time coaching job back here in the States. So when that season ended, which was late in the summer, kind of perfect timing, I was able to flew back into Chicago and then drove to Manchester College in North Manchester, Indiana, and was the offensive coordinator for the Division III program there. And so got off to my real start, you know, as a full-time coach at Manchester after my time in Sweden.
Hey, Chris, what was football like in Sweden?
Yeah, it, you know, there was guys on that team who'd been playing for 8, 9, and 10 years.
Wow.
And it's interesting. This was in 1993. And so some unbelievable athletes. I mean, one of the Swedish, you know, Olympian shot putters, you know, was our offensive lineman and whatnot. So great athletes, but obviously just, you know, hadn't grown up with the kind of coaching that folks get, you know, in the States. And so some really good people and some really talented players. And it was the highest level of football in Sweden. They call it the Super Series. And so it was a fantastic experience. I tell people to this day, it was not NFL Europe. you know, it was not the next step to play professionally or anything like that. But you know, they get you a car, an apartment, and a stipend, and, you know, you get to do what you love in another country. And so it was just a fantastic experience.
And you just played other teams over in Sweden? That's how
we
it
did.
Worked?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
We sure did. They've got several different leagues. And again, this is, and you know, depending on how well you do the previous year, you're either in the highest or the middle or the lowest league. And, you know, it was good. Yeah. I mean, we got to had a neat season and, friendships for life.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard of. You just don't hear much about football in Sweden. So
they have great. They have great long snappers there. I can assure you. I'm just kidding, boys. Let's get to a break. Our special guest, he is Chris Creighton, head football coach at Eastern Michigan University. We're going to talk to him a little bit more about his faith, his journey, the platform that the Lord has given him at Eastern Michigan, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, Chris Creighton. He's the head football coach at Eastern Michigan University. During the break, we were talking about where Eastern Michigan is. Could you pronounce that town for me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti, Michigan, and fairly close to Ann Arbor.
Yeah, really just 5 or 6 miles from Ann Arbor, so it just butts up right against it.
Wow. Well, look, I'll root for Eastern Michigan, but I'm not rooting for Michigan. I'm just telling
you. I love it.
Yeah, any trips to the Big House for you guys?
Not in my 3 years.
Okay.
Eastern's played Michigan in the past. They're not on the schedule in the near future either, though, no. We played Michigan State my first year.
Boy, those are you're competing with some big time programs, obviously, for athletes and football players from the state of Michigan. That's got to be a difficult putt.
Oh, no question. You know, those two teams, you know, are obviously in the upper echelon, you know, of all Division I football. And you know, there's three MAC schools in Michigan with Eastern and then Central and Western. And honestly, we're recruiting and dealing with those schools, you know, and competing against them a lot more than we are with Michigan and Michigan State.
Hey, Chris, I lived up near the UP. And do you get many football players from the UP? I was near Iron Mountain, Michigan.
We haven't in my 3 years. I know that there have been guys on the team, you know, throughout its history and whatnot. You know, we haven't in the 3 years that I've been here.
Okay.
You know, last football question, and then we're going to get into a little bit about your testimony and this platform that the Lord has given you. But you were at Drake University for I think, 6 years. Boy, that college does a great job recruiting some Wisconsin guys. Was that something you guys did quite a bit when you were there?
Absolutely. No question. We spent a lot of time in Wisconsin and had some great people and great players, you know, on our teams. And Coach Fox, the current head coach there, continues to recruit Wisconsin. It's just a great fit.
Yeah, we have the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Clinic coming up this month in March. It's the largest high school coaches clinic, I think, in the country. And
wow.
Chris, they asked me to speak up there. I would follow the head football coach, Paul Christ at Wisconsin, speak for 10 minutes on this radio show that I do, and then Jerry Kramer would follow me. Which one of those three does not belong? I said, man, I'm not doing that. I'm not following coach. You know, if these guys have to go, you know, if they have to use the bathroom, that 10 minutes that I'm there, there's nobody going to be there. Hey, the reason for Faith in the Zone, Coach, is we love to talk to guys about their faith and their journey and how it started. And if we could get your testimony, that would be outstanding.
Sure. Yeah. I mentioned that my father was an Episcopal priest. And so I grew up in the Episcopal Church. And, you know, just looking back on my childhood and whatnot, especially the parish there in San Jose, California, it was just an awesome community of folks who loved each other and took care of each other. And, you know, just as, again, as a young boy, and the relationships that my folks have with people to this day, you know, even though we haven't lived in California since 1980, it is awesome. And so I think that when I think about my faith and the journey, you know, I just think even at a young age, you know, I was drawn to people loving each other. And my father, who then went on to become an Episcopal bishop in the church, and we, you know, I don't attend an Episcopal church now, and so we, in terms of some of our theology, have gone, you know, different paths. I still to this day say that my father lives in, you know, what so many of us talk about in terms of just surrendering to God and loving other people. But it was at a Christian camp in Bellingham, Washington, going into my eighth grade year, where, you know, I invited Christ into my heart and just knew that that's who I was and who I wanted to be and needed to be. So even though I grew up in the church, you know, that's when I made, you know, my profession of faith. And, you know, my folks will tell you that, you know, things changed for me. I wasn't, you know, a kid that was into trouble or anything like that. But, I mean, it definitely took hold at 16. I spent an entire summer with Teen Missions International through Merritt Island, Florida, but lived in Haiti, you know, with a group of 30 of us on a mission, and just radically impacted my life. That was going into my junior year, and, you know, just really wanted to live, you know, the life that that God calls us to live. And went away to college, like I said, and had a Christian roommate at a secular school, and able to start some Bible studies and join Fellowship of Christian Athletes there, and really, you know, grew a really neat group of friends and fellow believers. And then, you know, graduating from college, being out on my own and coaching, you know, that's really probably for me when some of the ministry, you know, through coaching started happening. And when I graduated from Kenyon, I went down to Kanakomo, the Christian sports camps there outside of Branson, Missouri. And I'll never forget this, and it's never going to change, but, you know, I'm at a Christian sports camp was coaching football. Now, I mean, it was football and water skiing and blobbing and sailing. You know, it wasn't a football camp, but I was running the football part of it or helping with it. And I remember one morning, because I was just about a month away from headed to Concordia at the end of the summer to start my college coaching career, and had never coached. And so I had one of those moments where everybody kind of left the field and ran down to the lake, and I'm putting pads away by myself and to some degree, you know, freaking out about, you know, what am I doing in 3 weeks? I'm going to be coaching college football and a place I've never been with people I don't know, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm telling you, God spoke to me, just said, look, the what you've been doing this summer, and the challenge at that camp was just to love the kids, you know, whether it was easy to love them or hard, you know, just love them. And I saw the power and the impact of that, and never forget just standing there right by the shed by myself and thinking, okay, these kids are, you know, 12 to 14, and I'm going to be with 18 to 22 year olds. But why and how should that be any different? You know, just to love the guys I coach. And that became my coaching philosophy, that love is ultimately more powerful than hate, fear, negativity, and intimidation. And although, you know, if I'm honest, I've got to remind myself at times what my philosophy is. It is what I believe, and it is who I'm supposed to be. And so I've done it now for, I think, 25 or so years. I've had an unbelievable career, and it's not because of the games that I've won or the places that I've been in the world's eyes, but it's the, you know, I've been to places that people have largely not heard of, and, you know, that's just how God works. But I've been where I'm supposed to be and have loved it. And the people that I've been able to work with and the players that I've been able to coach, my career's not over, but I'm telling you, I've had an unbelievable career, because I believe that, I've been where I'm supposed to be, and I've been, you know, trying to do it the way that I believe that God wants me to do it.
Chris, that's a powerful testimony. Thanks for sharing that with us. And I liked listening, you know, to you as far as what God's been doing in your life, because I mean, Jesus said, "This is how men will know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." And we've talked to several college football coaches, and I can't remember, Mike, who it was that said they learned to coach from the inside out first, that they wanted to be transparent, they wanted to give their heart, and they wanted the players to, you know, to give them their, you know, their heart, and then they can start making headway on the field or on the court or whatever that was we were talking about with them. But when you're talking about loving your players, and how, you know, we read in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love casts out fear. And my father's in the presence of the Lord. He went home to be with the Lord on Thanksgiving this past year. And I remember as a kid growing up, if he told me, "Hey, mow the grass," and I didn't mow the grass, I, you know, when he came home, you know, he wore out my Western Hemisphere for not taking care of the grass or ground me or whatever. And so the next day, I mean, I get up, man, I mow that grass. And I used to tell my boys even, you know, I mowed the grass because I feared the consequences. I said, but now there's a day, you know, when I'd go to Colorado Springs where he lived, I'd say, "Hey, Dad, let me go out and mow your grass for you." And, you know, I'm doing that, you know, because I love him, not because I fear him at that point. And I've heard over and over from players, you know, they might play for someone because they have this fear element with that coach. But the ones that they really emphasized that they do their absolute dead level best are for coaches that they really love. And that sounds like that's really what you've been developing in your program.
Yeah, and you know, it is, especially football coaches. I mean, sometimes people are just, you know, like that word that doesn't make sense to them in football. And, you know, much of the love is tough love. You know, mm-hmm. It's not, "Hey, you're 30 seconds late," and you just, you know, wrap your arm around them and rub their head and say everything's okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's, you know, you really do have to define, you know, what that is. And, you know, to do it quickly is if they know that you have their best interest in mind and that you care about them way more, than what they can do on the field, so that there's that whole side and relationship to it. And that you're going to hold them to a high standard and keep them accountable. And, you know, so it is tough love, you know, most of the time. But nonetheless, when I'm doing it right, it is out of love.
I grew up with that. I grew up in a pastor's home who was, he came to the Lord when he was in the Air Force. And so I grew up with a disciplinarian. And, you know, I look at it now and I say, "Hey, you know, Dad, thanks for your discipline." And I believe really, Chris, that's what kids are and young men are looking for. They're looking for someone that's going to demonstrate the love by you care about me. You're not just going to let me do whatever I want to do. There's going to be discipline with that. And so you're absolutely right.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this, and then we're going to get to a break. I've been coaching basketball for a long time. It's my 35th year coaching basketball, and the change that I've seen in kids at the age that I'm coaching, which is, you know, from maybe 14 to 18 in that range, has been incredible in the last 10 years. It's wearing me out, Chris. I got to be honest with you. And I didn't realize that, you know, I needed to be half Dr. Phil, half, you know, basketball coach. But there are kids at this age that, you know, it's really hard. You got to coach them up hard and you got to love them up hard. And I understand that. But I'm wondering, in your profession, the last 10 years, have you seen a change in some of these kids that you're getting from the high schools?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, people talk about that all the time. And I do think so. I, you know, the thing that makes it a little bit fuzzy for me is that they stay the same age and I get older. And so, you know, I never know how much of it is them changing and how much of it is, you know, me growing older. I became a head college coach at 27 years old and wasn't married yet. And, you know, didn't have kids and all that. And so I was, you know, almost the cool older brother, you know, for a few years. And then you get married and have kids and, you know, still on the younger side of things, so you can relate and whatnot. But then when I moved to Drake, I moved as a married man with three kids. And so, you know, I'm 38 years old at that point. And, you know, I was not the cool older brother anymore. You know,
yeah.
I had a coach that told me after 3 years, is like, look, you're definitely not that. You know, you know, you're starting to get into more of the father, you know, figure deal. And that's not what I was used to, nor really what I wanted. And so I think it's a really good question. I think that there is a different generation. There's no question. But I think some of us got to realize that we're a part of that because, you know, I'm not 27 anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm 48. And so, you know, any of the disconnect, I think goes two ways.
You have to also balance, you know, your family. You know, you said you have three children?
I do.
Yep.
Yeah. And how old are they?
12, 10, and 9.
Oh boy, you're in a good time. I'll tell you this, Chris, it goes by fast, so enjoy every minute of it.
Wow.
I have four boys and they're all gone. But I you know, look at that aspect of having to balance it all, you know, the football, you know, the home. I would take it you're probably somewhat active in your local church even. You know, you have all of that you're. In fact, what was interesting when we had Bobby Bowden on, he said, "Man, I just told the mothers that I was visiting with it, you know, and recruiting kids that hey, I'm taking them to church." Do you have opportunities with that with some of your guys, or is that kind of their decision, or how do you work that?
You know, I think we lost him, Pastor. Let's get to a break. It's good time. We will reach back out to Chris on the other side of the break, and we'll get. An answer. That's a really good question. And we'll get an answer from Chris Creighton, head football coach at Eastern Michigan. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, he's a good one, Chris Creighton, head football coach at Eastern Michigan University. Pastor, we had a little phone issue if you want to talk a little bit about that last question. It was a mediocre question, but I'll let you bring it back up again.
Oh, he's too good to me, Chris. He's just too good. No, you were talking about you have three kids. I think it was 9 to 12 or something in there.
Yep.
And, I mean, so you have that balance. You have football. Then you have church. And I mentioned, you know, we were talking to Coach Bowden, and he said that when he was recruiting, that he really promised these mothers and grandmothers, hey, I'm gonna get your boys in church. I mean, do you know, so it's a twofold question, really. You know, just share a little bit of how you do the balancing of all of the church and football and college life and then also with your kids and your wife at the house. And then what are you able to do with the guys on the team as far as getting them to churches or how do you work that?
Yeah, no, when I started my first head coaching job, I think I told you I was 27 years old and wasn't married. Make a long story really short, or shorter. I was, you know, doing what I loved and really didn't have any other responsibilities. My faith was incredibly strong at that point. And, you know, I was just going 90 miles an hour trying to get this team and program going and staff and was loving every minute of it. But I paused at one point and said, you know, I'm loving this, but there's no way that I could do what I'm doing the way I'm doing it, married and with children. And, you know, I'd hoped that that was, you know, in God's will at some point. And so I had just read the book Sold Out by Bill McCartney, you know, the former head coach, University
We've had him on.
He was a great guest.
He was really good.
Yeah, he's incredible. And after reading that book, you know, and my own deduction was that, wow, he wasn't able to do it. And you mentioned like a Bobby Bowden, and I didn't know of any, you know, college coaches, especially the big time college coaches, that I didn't know any of them. So I didn't know if any of them were able to do four things: be a sold out man of God, be a husband, a father, and a college football coach. And so I wrote him and I said, I'm going to write you once every 2 weeks until you agree to meet with me. And his secretary called after one letter and said, he'll meet you. Don't write any more letters. And met him at a Promise Keepers event in Omaha, Nebraska, and had an unbelievable conversation with him. But he didn't answer my question. And so I wrote him another letter. And, you know, the question is it, you know, can you be those four things? And I'm actually looking at his response letter. It's framed on my wall, and just set off, you know, sort of a whole path for me in trying to figure out whether I could do that. Fast forward, I'm married. You know, it's what, 4 or 5 years later, married and at a different school. And I just, again, feel as though God basically told me that the very thing that you've been trying to figure out, whether it's possible or not, you know, that is your life's mission statement, you know, to be a sold out man of God, to be a loving husband and father and an influential college football coach. And it was just an awesome, you know, revelation for me. And that is, those are the four things in that order, you know, in terms of how I'm supposed to live my life. And so the balance, I don't golf. I don't, you know, anything that kind of fits, you know, outside of those four things, I try to say no to. And time wise, I mean, I can't tell you that the order is not flipped upside down. But when I am who I'm truly supposed to be, it's to be doing, you know, those four things and doing them in that order.
Chris, that tremendous, mission that you have for your own personal life. I think if you went back and listened to the broadcast that we had with Coach McCartney, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe Coach McCartney, as he looks back, the one thing he definitely regrets is not spending time with his family.
Yes. Yeah, and he made that perfectly clear on that show, Chris.
Several times.
Yeah, he said, look, I failed. And he used those words. He said, I failed my daughter, and you can, you know, here's what happened in her life because I failed her as a father. And I think your mission statement is spot on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you, I'm going to use that because I just think it's, you know, sold out for God. Can you do that? Can you be a husband and a father and a coach? And I think it's really difficult. It's got to be even much more difficult, you know, at the level that you're at, Chris. So I commend you, and I think you're right. What a great mission statement to try to achieve on a daily basis.
Hey, Chris, I just want to follow up on Mike's comment there. The sold out for God, and I take it you're active in your local church.
You know, that it's you've said that a couple times now, yeah. and I am not as active. We're going to a larger church. Mm-hmm. It's 27 minutes away. And so we're there for worship. And you know, my oldest is in youth group and mm-hmm. which has been really good. But we haven't done church, in that sense, right or well, probably our entire marriage. I mean, our ministry has always been with the staff and team, mm-hmm. and the church has always helped and supported us in that. But so in terms of being involved with a men's Bible study with the church, well, you know, I've always been leading those with guys here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you.
And so And I remember when our kids were young, I said, honey, we can do this, but, you know, at some point our kids, you know, are going to be impacted by how we do church, because mm-hmm. it's not normal. So it's something that we wrestle with, you know, to this day. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought it up.
What do you do? What do you do as far as with the guys? You obviously want them in church. Coach Bowden would say he would take them even at times. And then he'd take them, I think he said the first time, and then they had to make up their mind what they were going to do. I mean, do you kind of do anything along that line?
Yeah, I mean, when I think about, you know, through the years, I mean, I've done it all. I would tell you that now the guys know who I am, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. We make it absolutely available. I mean, we travel with, we do a chapel home and away throughout the season. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got athletes in action. We've had, you know, Fellowship Christian athletes and small groups on the team and in the off season, you know, led by coaches or, you know, somebody in ministry. But I've never made that mandatory.
Okay.
Never made it mandatory. And I don't know that, you know, with being at a state school and whatnot, I don't know that, that I could or should. Mm-hmm. No, I'm very familiar with, Coach Bowden and greatly admire, you know, how he lived his life as a coach and the impact he had.
Hey guys, we've got to get to a break. Other side of the break, I'm going to ask Coach Creighton about a past guest on Faith in the Zone that he's going to be really familiar with, because this young man had something to do with an overtime win against Eastern Michigan on November 16th of this last year. He was a left tackle for Northern Illinois. That's what I'm going to tease.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to ask Coach Creighton if I know he remembers Levon Myers, who came in studio with us, and we'll talk about that on the other side. Our special guest, Chris Creighton, head football coach at Eastern Michigan University. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, Pastor Ken Keltner, our special guest, head football coach at Eastern Michigan University. He's Chris Creighton. Hey, Coach, a guest that was with us probably a year ago, something like that, was a young man that played at Franklin High School, left tackle at Northern Illinois, Levon Myers. And, boy, what an awfully good high school and college football player he is.
Yeah, like I was saying, I mean, if you're a starting tackle at Northern Illinois, you're a really good player. We have deep respect for that, for Coach Carey and the program that they have at Northern. We thought we had him this year.
Yeah, I see that, man. Overtime loss, and I don't want to. I don't want to bring up bad feelings. 31-24, but man, Eastern Michigan, you guys had a great year, Coach.
It was fun. You know, it's all relative, and you know, we've been a program that's been down for a number of years, and definitely had some life breathed into us this season, and we're excited about where we're headed. But that was a fun night and then a tough night. But hats off to Northern Illinois.
Do you coach the offense, the defense, or do you have your coordinators and then you're kind of in the loop on all of it? How do you work that?
Yeah, so for so many years being at the smaller colleges, I was the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. But getting here, I hired an offensive coordinator who coaches the quarterbacks and then obviously a defensive coordinator. And so I still spend most of my time on offense, but really let the coordinators, you know, do their thing on either side of the ball. And I often call myself the culture coach, and felt as though we needed to really, you know, zero in on that as a program and as we tried to build it up. And it took some getting used to not calling plays and not having a specific position that I was coaching, but really thought and still do think it's the right thing to do.
Well, hey, who do you open up with this year?
We host Charlotte this year. We played them last year out of Conference USA and then head up to Rutgers in game two.
Wow.
So those are the two that we open up with.
Yeah, who's your rival?
Well, like I mentioned, in the state, we have both Central and Western. And so you could say either one of those two would qualify as a rival.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Pastor, we've only got about 2 minutes left, and I'm just shocked that I gave you a whole bunch of research. One of this is college coach says no to profanity. And I bet half of our shows, you ask these guys if they ever met Tom Landry because he never swore when he was coaching. I give you this thing and you don't bring this up?
Man. I'm telling you.
Hey, Chris.
He's rattling me right now, Chris. I came walking in and this was the first thing and he's giving me a hard time about it. We were talking to Raymond Berry. And I asked Raymond, because he was all about Coach Landry. Coach Landry, I said, well, what did you think, though, about the fact he never used profanity? And I mean, it just dropped off the table.
And he said, yeah, I don't know. And since then, he's brought up Coach Landry a number of times. I gave him a great opening with this, and now there's a minute to go in the show, and he still didn't bring it up. I need a new co-host, Chris. You get done with football, you come up and co-host with me. Right?
I read it, Chris, and I like it. And I thought, after listening to your testimony, I'm not surprised. I mean, that as a believer, well, you wouldn't use profanity.
You know, you talked early in the show about being you're not always a good guy. You know, it's you have to use tough love. I went to a college practice here for he is now a coach at a Big Ten school. You can figure it out if you're from around here. But he was the head coach at Marquette, and he's now at, and I'd never heard anything like that. And I'm a street guy. I'm a guy's guy. I've been around sports forever. But that was unbelievable. I know he's changed his ways at this point. But when I read this, Chris, I know as a coach, it's hard. It's a hard thing not to ever use profanity at or around these kids that we're coaching. So I commend you for that.
Yeah, no, it's just something that, you know, that's how we do it. So,
well, I like it. I like it. And I guarantee you got a lot of parents out there that like that too.
And you know what? And that's an opening for you to get up to Wisconsin to recruit these boys up here. Man, they would make you proud. They'd be good ambassadors for you and the people at Eastern Michigan University. Chris Creighton, head coach, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck in the upcoming season. It's a ways away, but you know, as coaches, we don't look ahead, but we work ahead.
That's right. No, it's been awesome being with you guys, and thanks for the opportunity to share.
Excellent. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.